This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Got to turn my mic on because I'm already a little high. Welcome to my mom's favorite podcast. As always, I'm James Bailey. And you know what? I still haven't heard from you fuckers, so I'm still calling you guys Mamaholics until somebody tells me differently. I don't know why I've decided to go with Sammy Hagar today. Can't Drive 55 for those millennials that are listening like, what is this wizard music I'm listening to? What is this? I don't understand. It's called Melodies. You may have heard Kanye sample this song, as he sampled just about everything from the fucking 80s and 90s. 70s, 60s, whatevs. So let that hate mail roll in. This is my mom's favorite podcast, HMB Radio Network. My guest today is going to be one of my first guests. I think it was my second guest ever, in Devin Pickett. Devin Alexander, however we're calling him now. He's making a little visit down from New York, so we'll talk about how he's liking it up there. I might end up there with him in about a year, Mamaholic, so that'll be something to talk about. We'll talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and he's one of my only other guests that actually has a steady relationship, so maybe I can get him to fuck his up like I almost did with Vinny. Vinny, Dom, if you're listening, I hope you guys are still together, and if not, Dom, call me. Just kidding. I'm just kidding, but I'm not kidding. Get ready for my mom's favorite podcast! Well, it was kind of his fault because we were talking. I'll just say his first name so I don't get him in just in case they do listen again. it was Vinny, and I had him and his buddy Mason. But we were talking about like a podcast they had just done, and Vinny was the only one in a relationship, and like his girl knew he did comedy and all this. And he's like, "Yeah." And the only time she, I was like, "Do you talk about her on stage?" He's like, "Yeah." The only time she's really gotten mad at me was last week when she heard me on this other podcast. And I was like, oh, yeah, why'd she get mad? And he just kind of looked at me, and he's like, fuck. Like, I could just see it in his eyes. He's like, I don't want to say anything, but I do. Like, I'm on a podcast, so I don't want to shut down.
Right.
And, like, I kind of fucked with him a little bit, and kind of, like, he said some of the shit that he said on the podcast, and then he said some other shit altogether. And, like, I met her, like, a week and a half later at a gig I was doing for him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, have you listened to the podcast yet? And she was like, no. And she was all smiles, and I was like, nah, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't. This wouldn't be such a warm reception if you had heard it. And we kind of laughed or whatever. And then I saw Vinny a couple weeks later. And I was like, hey, what's up, man? And he just kind of looked at me. I was like, yo, did your girl end up listening to the podcast? And he's like, yeah. Like, did she get mad at me? Yeah.
Now I'm a little intrigued to listen to the podcast.
It was a pretty good one. I tried to convince Vinny to dump his girlfriend and just go to Chipotle every day and do comedy. And,
I mean, that sounds like, yeah. That sounds really fun, actually.
And then I tried to, I talked a bunch of shit to Mason Hill to, if Child Services listens, they'll take his kids away. So, you know, I tried to ruin some lives in that one. It was it's a little fucked up.
Maybe it actually brought them closer together. So maybe you actually did something good for their relationship.
Oh, God, I hope not. Not that I want them to break up. I don't want that to be my MO. Like, James the problem solver. Mm.
So you said he was the only other one that came on with that was in a relationship?
That I can think of off the top of my head. Well, Mike Morris. Well, I suppose John Jay's married. I think that's it. I think Mike and John Jay.
Are Vinny and Dom, they're pretty serious. I mean, I just saw.
Do you know them?
I mean, yeah, I know Vinny from, you know, the open mic scene. But,
oh, okay.
I follow him on his social media, so I mean, I'll see whatever he's doing pop up in my feed. I just saw they went to California together.
Yeah, that's pretty serious.
So, I mean,
they must be doing pretty good.
You're spending money together, so it's got to be somewhat serious.
Nah, they're an adorable couple, too. I hope it works out for them. She seems really sweet, And he looks like he, if I was in prison, he would be a good transition piece for me from female to male.
Yeah, but there was something about Vinny when I first saw him that was, like, kind of intimidating. I don't know if it was.
He's like a buck 20, bro.
Yeah, but look at his. But the way he looks with his tattoos, it's kind of got a story. So it's kind of like, so there's a little mystery. I don't know if this guy will stab me with a needle or.
I don't know. Maybe it's because. And for those that listen to Danny's podcast, which was last week, technically, because this won't come out until next Wednesday. So for anybody listening, they listen to Danny's, which was released last week. Like, I talked about how my stepdad was, like, a treasure for an outlaw MC when I lived up north. My grandmother owned the bar that they based their clubhouse out of for a few years. Like, I've been around some serious shit, and that was when I lived in, like, a really bad neighborhood where, like, there was constantly gunshots, and, like, you don't walk through the park without shoes on
because right.
you'll step on heroin needles and crack vials and 40 bottles.
All the nutrients you need as a child.
Right? Dude, we had 40s up north. That's what I'm talking about.
Like the glass bottle?
Yeah.
They don't have them anymore.
They don't have them down here.
I did see them I was up there. The glass.
In New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have them at the bodega for like $4.
It's something. The reason they don't have them in Florida, it has something. Why do I feel like I'm so loud? It has something. There we go. That's better. It has something to do with the amount of alcohol you can have per fucking size container or whatever, you know, like percentage of alcohol per fluid ounce or per container, whatever.
They're so lenient up there, especially in the city. Dude,
unless it's soda.
They just passed a law, and I'm pretty certain it's only in Manhattan that you can walk around with open container. Like you can walk around with your beer and if you could just get a tall boy, like pop it open with the bag. Like, right.
I feel like I have a pretty good grip on what New York's like. I've never been there.
Never, ever?
But I have seen every episode of New York Undercover and How I Met Your Mother. So I feel like I have it from both sides.
It's close. As long as you didn't get your New York experience from Friends.
Oh, God, no. I did watch Friends. I watched the shit out of Friends. I'm not gonna lie.
I still watch Friends. Like, I'm in New York, and I'm like, I don't think this is right. Like, my girlfriend and I will be like, we'll have debates about how Friends doesn't add up to what New York really is.
Let me stop chewing the mic. Dude, I never thought that shit. I watched Friends on accident, bro.
Like first time ever?
I got really high. And I was in this old apartment I had back in, it was like 99, 2000. And I'm fucking ripped. And I have a joke like where I incorporate this in it now, but I'm literally looking at my remote control for the cable box and it's like clear on the other side of the room. And I'm like, man, I'm not fucking getting up to get that. And Friends came on and I was like, man, fuck. And I just watched Friends and I was like, oh, you know what? This is actually pretty fucking good. Like,
I think every comic has to have a joke about Friends. I have a joke about Friends about watching Friends while having no friends around at all. Like, it was like, oh, this is my life. My life is not as great as these Friends. I'll watch it, I guess. And then I got into it.
Yeah, I got into another show like that I probably shouldn't have watched either, which was Grey's Anatomy.
I've never watched Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, man, I got into, like, the first. I was pretty heavy into it the first, I want to say, like, 5 or 6 seasons. Like, to the point where one of my homeboys' wives that I worked with, I want to say the show was on Sunday nights. So, like, or no, because it changed nights during football season. So it was, like, Tuesday, I think. But, like, every Wednesday when we worked together, we'd, like, run up to each other and be like, did you fucking see that last night? And it'd be me and this chick talking about fucking Grey's Anatomy for, like, an hour, dissecting every emotion in the episode. It's in the first season. I'm flipping through TV with my friend. I have no idea. I just know that this show is, like, a femme show. So I fucking flip on to a channel, and all of a sudden I see this doctor, and he's, like, talking to this hot nurse or another doctor. I don't know. They're all wearing scrubs. And, like, she's super hot, and they're, like, basically talking about how they've been hooking up. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, so there's sex in this show. That's cool. And then I'm like, wonder what show this is. And then the doctor starts flipping out because he's like, yo, you gave me fucking chlamydia? Are you serious? And I was like, oh, shit, this has got interesting as fuck. And then the chick's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, who did you get? Like, how do I have it? Who else have you been sleeping with? And she points at another dude down, like, the bench changing shoes. And the first doctor just, like, runs and spears him and starts beating the shit out of him. Like, all the other doctors are like, oh, shit. So I'm like, yo, I've been watching this show for 30 seconds. There's been sex, STDs, and violence. I'm fucking with it.
I'm in.
What is this show? And, like, it goes to commercial because it's, like, basic cable. And it comes back. And they're like, all right, we now return to Grey's Anatomy. And I was like, fuck! But I'm going to watch this shit. And I watched, like, the first five or six seasons of that shit deeply.
Dude, I think we get so enthralled by these shows because, like, you know, our lives aren't as fucking exciting as that shit. Like, my life, man, I haven't had an STD in, like, 10 years, man. These guys are having them weekly. I was like
every other season.
it's like one morning I woke up and I just turned on the TV and it so happened to be Law & Order that was on from, like, the leftover what we were watching from the night before.
Yeah.
And I walked away to the kitchen to, like, make coffee or some shit, and I hear on the television the lady say to the judge, or to whoever's interviewing her, she goes, I didn't sleep with the judge to keep my husband, or to get my husband out of prison. I slept with the judge to keep my husband in. I was like, ooh.
I think I've seen that episode. That's
I was like, this is interesting. I just woke up. I'm making coffee to sit on the couch to do nothing today. These people are sleeping with people to keep people in prison. Like, I want to know the story behind this.
Oh, dude. Some TV is so good, too. Especially, like, when you just get stoned.
Yes.
Like, I will. Like, that's why I don't have internet. I don't have cable. Like, I refuse to get those. Like, I'll use the Wi-Fi. I'll make my phone a hotspot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have unlimited data, but you only have so many hotspot minutes.
Right.
Which I didn't find out until the first time, like, the first month I was using my phone.
Did you have to start paying for it? Like, did you pay it for it without
knowing?
No, it
slows it way the fuck out.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think one time when I was younger, like, I kept doing something to my mom's account, like, texting or something. I had a limited amount, and I just kept going, and it would let me keep going. But, like,
no
on
warning.
The next bill, it was, like, $1,000. My mom was like, what the fuck? Still haven't paid her that $1,000 back.
I did something kind of like that. When back before, like, when you called a different area code, it was considered long distance.
I remember that.
So, like, I was calling this chick that lived, like, 4 hours away on my mom's, like, home phone, like, a landline. This is back in, like, the mid-90s. I was in high school. I'm old. And it was considered fucking long distance. And I didn't even think about it because up until then, long distance for me was, like, no, like, my dad who lives in fucking Louisiana at the time. And, like, I think I had, like, a family member out in fucking Cali or something. Like, that's long distance. Illinois is long distance.
Something in another time zone.
Yeah.
Like, that's my only understanding of it.
Yeah, like, 4 hours? Like, no, we fucking drive up there. I stay awake the whole time. It's fine. Like, no, nah, dude, I called her, like, a bunch. And my mom got that phone bill and lost her shit.
Yeah, did you have to pay her back?
No, dude, I was like fucking 15 or 16.
Yeah, I was like, I think I was like 12 or 13. My mom was like, you're gonna pay me back. She was so certain. She was like, you're gonna pay me back. You know that, right? And I was like, yeah, mom. I know.
My mom would take shit out of me on like chores. Like, I didn't pay her back, but like I fucking had to take like a metal rake and take all the rocks out of the flower beds in the front fucking yard.
See, at least your mom had backbone. My mom... she was such a pushover because my pops like ran out on us and just he's a fucking sleazeball. So like, my mom like almost feels bad because she feels like she couldn't give my brother and I like that kind of life.
Right.
So like, it would be like I'd do something wrong and she'd be like, God damn it, you did something wrong. But it was probably my fault. And then she'd start blaming herself. Which as an adult, I noticed that now and I'm like, Mom, you did a pretty good job. Like. I think back and I'm like, all right, I understand what you were trying to do to me, like the
right.
discipline, you know. Well, so like, it's like it didn't go for uncounted for.
I just had like a super emotional because I was in Wisconsin last week for my grandfather's funeral. And like my mom came to pick me up and like right away we started talking about how she had sent me away to live with my dad when I was like literally the same week I turned 18, I was moving to Florida to live with my dad and finish high school. And, like, she explained it as, like, she wanted me to finish high school. But at the time, I'm like, fuck, I just met my dad when I was, like, 14. So I'm like, dude, I fucking have lived with you for 18 years. You're the only parent I've known. Like, her discipline style was fucking weird. Like, she still drinks a lot. So, like, she would always be, like, trying to be my buddy almost. Like, she'd always be half drunk. Like, that's how I remember my mom literally is, like, half drunk all the time, at least.
I've heard you talk about it on stage. I think you've had bits about
it. It makes some people sad, so like I get like a 50-50 reaction from the audience.
That's because you and I are the type of people that have like gone through fucking, you know, the bottom. You know what it looks like, so it's not like it hurts you.
Yeah, nothing
actually
like,
helps.
Yeah, nothing terrifies me. Like, no, dude, I'm going to talk about this. But like, because I did it one night, and this Lana Turner, who Ralphie May's ex-wife.
Oh, okay.
I was hosting at Snappers, and she was a headliner.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was trying this fucking joke. And it was one of the, like, I had reworked it about how much my mom drank and shit. And, like, I was talking about advice that she gave me. I can't remember how I fucking worked the bit. But, I mean, I was working on it, and I get done, and she was like, that was really sad. Don't do that. Like, that's really a sad, sad joke. And she's like, I mean, I understand what you're trying to do, but it's just so, like, and she had two kids, so.
Right.
And she's a bit of a hippie. Like, she was really sweet, though. Mm-hmm. Really nice girl. But so.
So, like, for a show, was she trying to say, like, for a show to, like, to keep a show upbeat? Like, that's not pretty.
Plus, I was emceeing.
Right.
So, like, I mean, I didn't think of it as sad. I thought it was like, oh, I'm poking fun at my mom's severe alcoholism that affected my childhood.
Right, right.
And so I didn't even think, like, if I'd have been thinking about it, I'd have been like, yeah, I'm not going to get up as an MC and try to work on some darker, like, this may depress everybody. Like, I wouldn't do that as a host. I would do that as, like, a feature maybe because I feel like I would have enough time before and afterwards to, you know, if the crowd doesn't go with it, I can pick it back up.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, this all was on a train. Oh, so me and my mom talked about it. Apparently when I was 18, I cussed her out when she sent me to live with my dad. I don't remember it. I don't remember any of that. Like, I was like, all right, I'm a pretty bad kid, but I never, like, I don't remember ever cussing you out because you were violent. It's so, like, my mom would either be drunk and, like, trying to be my best friend or, like, violent, extreme, hardcore discipline. Like, there wasn't a lot in between. Like, I didn't get away with a lot of shit. If she found out, I got beat. If she didn't find out, then I was good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, the really big secret. Like, if she didn't find out shit, nothing fucking happened. So, like, it was weird discipline for me. And then I moved down with my dad. And then I found out my grandpa's funeral. At one point, my grandmother, my mom's mom, dipped for like 2 years. Took my mom and her older sister to my grandfather who died, took him to his house, and was like, here you go, and just left for 2 years. Just disappeared.
Dude.
Like, no phone, like, because this is 70s? No, this would be 60s. This was like 60s. So, like, there's no cell phones, there's no, you know, email, there's no none of that.
Mm-hmm.
She just left for, like, fucking a little over 2 years.
I don't know how people can do that. I have a buddy who said his uncle left his family. He was walking out, and the last thing he told his wife was, I'm going to buy lottery tickets.
Oh, not that cliche.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Oh, and that's so rough.
And just left. I don't know if he won or not, so.
Like, Iron Man 3, like, he must have won because he never came back. Like,
or it's probably I would say it's more the embarrassment of spending all of his money on losing tickets, coming back, too embarrassed to come back, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, because it's not like, did you hear, I'm going to say this real quick and then we'll get back to, like, the mom thing. There's a girl, I want to say Tennessee, who started a GoFundMe. Because she had spent all of her fucking family's money on lottery tickets expecting to hit. Like, it was when the big one was just, like, a couple billion.
I do remember hearing about this.
Yeah. And people were donating money. She had, like, fucking a couple $100 within, like, a couple. Like, it was something ridiculous. Like, her the first 12 hours, she raised, like, $280, I think. Something like that.
Well, it was the the account was to pay her parents back?
No, it was to pay. No, her family, like, her boyfriend, her kids.
Okay.
It was like a young 20-something-year-old girl. And the money was to, like, pay their rent and shit so they didn't end up evicted. She was like, I was counting on that money to, like, you know, we were expecting to win. She spent, like, large money on these tickets. It wasn't, like, $50.
And people actually funded it.
Yeah. A lot of people did.
Dude, it's crazy what sympathy can fuck it. Or, like, what.
But, dude, she was straight up just like, yeah, we were really expecting to win that money. We were counting on that fucking lottery money. That's why we spent. Because I want to say, I don't want to say it and be wrong, but I want to say it was like a G or something that they spent on fucking tickets. That's why they were like, we thought we'd win with this many tickets. Like,
Yeah, that's fucking
stupid. But so, like, both of our moms, now you're, because I didn't meet my dad till I was 14. Mm-hmm. My mom left him because he was a heroin addict. Mm-hmm. He got clean and sober or whatever. I think we talked about that on here before.
Yeah, he was a stand-up, right?
Yeah,
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, he started stand-up after he got clean and sober. My mom left him about a year and a half, close to 2 years. He was kind of, like, back and forth, clean and sober, like, almost suicidal. Well, he was suicidal. He almost actually committed the suicide. Mm-hmm. He was on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
What?
Yeah, after my mom left him, went through a bunch of shit, pretty much fucking pissed off everybody else in the family, you know, grandma, my great-grandma, everybody like that. Mm-hmm. So he had 10 cc's of pure heroin in a needle in his arm, called the suicide hotline he had been calling, had, I guess back in the day, you always got the same lady. Because he had talked to the same lady, like, multiple times.
Like, it's like your own personal counselor?
Yeah,
at some point you build a relationship.
Yeah.
If you talk to him multiple times.
So I guess he had been calling her a couple times. He called her, was like, hey, I just want to thank you for all the help you've tried to give me. Like, it's over with. It's done. I'm tapping out. I got nothing left. He said he had the needle in his arm, like, injected. All you had to do was plunge his thumb. He called her. She talked the needle out of his arm. He ended up going into rehab. Got straight, got clean, and then he was on the episode of Unsolved Mysteries trying to find her so he could thank her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, that's, like, when I met back with my dad, that was one of my first introductions to him, was, like, I'd known he had been a heroin addict and everything, and I know he had, like, beat my mom. That's why she had been honest, probably too honest with me, because I knew that shit at a very early age.
Right?
I want to say, like, single-digits age.
I mean, yeah, I've been through some shit, dude. I saw my dad, like, beat my mom, like, at 3. So it's like, when you see that shit at an early age, you're kind of like, it's almost like your conscience has to be, like, at a state of where you have to be higher than, like, what you are. You're, like, you're too aware at such a young age. It's pretty intense.
Like, even if you just kind of know, like, I was too young because my mom left when I was, like, 1 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, right around that. So, like, I don't remember a lot of that.
Right.
But, like, to see something like that, like, even if you don't know what's going on, I got to imagine you just know that something is terribly fucking wrong.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you know. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah. So, like, you just knew, like, I mean, were you fully aware of, like, what, or were you just aware, like, no, this isn't wrong. This doesn't, like, this should not be happening.
It was weird, man. I was, it's hard to watch The Wizard of Oz now because I remember my parents. Now I know my mom was going there to sign divorce papers. They were signing divorce papers. I didn't know that at, like, 3 or 4, and, like, we were watching Wizard of Oz, and, like, they just abruptly, like, my dad got up. I remember seeing him hit her across the table, and I was like, oh, never watching Wizard of Oz again. But now when I watch it, because, like, that's what I see in my head when I'm watching Wizard of Oz. I go right back, and I'm like, it's like, all you got to hear is that fucking witch song. Like, I'm like a PTSD. Like, oh, God damn it. Again? Like, no, this is enough. But, I mean, comedy's helped, obviously. Like,
you get to venture out. Yeah,
definitely. I don't know where I was going with that.
When did he leave?
It's not that, like, he left. Like, it was just, like, he wasn't there. Like, I remember bits and pieces. Like, I can remember being at my dad's. Like, I have a stepsister. I remember he had another family, and I had a stepsister. And I remember, like, my mom would take us over there. But it wasn't like there was a relationship. It was like my dad would just do shit, and then we'd be there. It wasn't like, hey, let me show you how to throw a football. Let me show you how to fucking ride a bike. Let me show you how to build this fucking horse.
It was just kind of you hanging out in the background.
Yeah, but, like, it was more me and my brother doing stuff at my dad's.
Right.
So, like, my brother and I have a really tight bond now. My dad, I kind of, like, I just talked to him recently. It was so weird. He was, like, he was just really sad and feeling sorry for himself. He was like, what's a white man with white privilege to do? I was like, fucking make a living and die in the process like the rest of us. Like, what the fuck
not say things like that, like that, not ask about your white privilege.
I mean, especially your son. Like, I remember he used to make the weirdest, like, I know they're jokes, but he would just tell me, like, I was adopted. Like, he would be like, you know you're adopted, right? And I'd look at him and I'd be like, I'm gonna fucking go play with sticks or something.
That's weird.
I have a weird dad, man.
Because, like, I say shit like that to my kid. I just tell her I'm going to sell her to gypsies and shit. But, like, I've always been there. I've always been around.
Right.
So it's like she's talking shit. Well, she's old as fuck too.
Yeah. I think you said she's 16.
16. She'll be 17 in next month.
Oh man.
I know. I hate it. But that is going to allow me to get the fuck out of Florida
right,
in a year.
That's what you were saying.
So excited.
So you're thinking strongly about New York, or do you have multiple like places that you're thinking of?
Right. I'm trying to move the mic, and it just keeps swinging away from my face, and it's bullshit. Right now, it's between New York and Seattle are like my main options, or I could go back home. Wisconsin, Chicago's like 2 hours away. Milwaukee's like an hour and a half away.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you could take a bus or a train.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, you'd have to drive.
Really?
Once I got to Chicago, I could probably subway and bus around, but yeah. Not to get down there.
I've thought about Chicago. I've thought about coming back here and then saving and going out to the West Coast because I had a lot. I've heard people bitch about L.A., but I had a lot of fun when I went. I mean, I got to do a guest spot for Ian Edwards. I don't know how it was. I mean, it was a fucking bad set. But
yeah, how did you even get in that position, though?
I know somebody who, my friend, I don't know if you know Brian Harris. Everybody laughs at him, like at him here.
Yeah, like not like
not at his jokes, but at him.
Yeah, I think I know who he is.
But I've
young, like, skinnier black dude.
Yeah, okay. Went on like a rant at an open mic one time saying he deserves.
Oh, was that the whole? He was the one that went on the rant and fucking improv, and then like. There was almost a fight with somebody
else.
He
wasn't the one that caused the fight, no.
No, no, no.
That was somebody with Patrick Melton, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Some dumb shit.
But yeah, he was talking about how like the old-timers need to get out the way or some shit.
Yeah, something like that. And I don't condone anything he says.
He also talks some shit to my boy Kyle, and Kyle's not the one to talk. Kyle's,
is that Roos?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I've seen
like,
his shit.
Kyle has fucking been in this industry. Kyle's run through New York. Kyle's run through Jersey.
He's a headliner. He does hour sets. Like.
He just went on a little trip with, not a little trip, but he just did like two or three weeks with fucking Stanhope.
That's so badass.
Well, it was mostly Stanhope's fucking Unbookables crew for like one of their birthdays. But he was on one of Stanhope's podcasts. I'm trying to remember more about it, but I smoke so much weed, but it's like, dude, you're a fucking open micer that when everybody talks about him, they're like, wait, who? Wait, what does he look? And you say Kyle Roos, somebody's like, oh. And then he was talking shit about people like Ball and Fernandez. And it was like, no, dude, no.
Yeah, I don't condone anything he says. But I've hung out with him, and he's made me laugh just by saying stupid shit, like hanging out, not on stage. And so he knew somebody that was in L.A., and she... like, I guess had added me at some point on Facebook, and we had talked, and she saw me post about being in L.A., and she was like, oh, my friend needs somebody who can do, 7 minutes. And I was like, I mean, I was just going to do some open mics and try and hang out at the Comedy Store, but yeah, sure. I mean, what's it for? And she was like, I don't know. I'll give you her number, and you can call her and talk to her. And she gave me her number, and I guess gave her my number because I didn't end up calling her. I was in California. The first day, I was like, weed.
Yeah.
We need to get weed, hash, edibles, and we just got fucked up. And then I end up getting a call from California. I was like, who the fuck is this? And it ends up being this lady.
Yeah.
Her name was Rebecca O'Brien. Shout out to her. She's got cancer right now, so she's battling through that.
Oh, shit.
That's
what my grandfather
died of. I think
she's
doing chemo. You need to stop the radiation and turn to weed.
Just smoke weed. Just always. Weed is the answer for everything.
Definitely. Not enough people know that. They don't believe. I believe in science.
Oh, it's so good.
It's there. But she calls me and tells me, oh, are you ready? She's like, I'm doing a New York accent. I've been in New York too long. She was like, are you ready to, can you do it 7 minutes? I was like, yeah, man, I shit together. Yeah. And she was like, all right, it's going to be for Ian Edwards. You know who Ian Edwards is? I was like, wait, what? She was like, yeah, it's going to be for Ian Edwards. He was just on Conan. Conan produced his new album. Are you ready?
Yeah, we know who he is.
I was like, yes. I was like, I will do it. I will be there. She was like, all right, I'm counting on you. She was like, I'm going to give you a few tickets when you get there. Try and sell them if you can't, whatever. And I get there, this place called the Nine on Vine on Hollywood Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And I was so high and drank too much coffee to try and even it out, and it was just bad, and it threw me off, so that's how it happened.
That's still good, though, man. You get up and...
It was definitely the experience, yeah.
Yeah.
You know who had to tell me it was really bad? Like, I was really happy, so I was hyped about it. I got video of it, and I was like, man, I got to do a shit in L.A. It was awesome. Yeah. And then Jonas pulled me aside after I came back from California, and he was like, dude, I'm going to tell you right now, that shit sucked. I was like, what? Nah, man, it was awesome. There was a little laughter. Nah, man, sucked.
That's why I love Jonas, dude.
I was like, damn it. I was like, I started thinking about it. I was like, dude, you're right. I had one joke in there that I actually only liked, and then the rest was shit. There was I said a joke where it was like, I saw a the ginger in a Kia Soul joke. I said it was like a really dumb one liner. I would say I saw a ginger in a Kia Soul. I was like, that's weird. And I would go into this rant about like how does a ginger get a Kia Soul? Because the joke is that gingers don't. Yeah. And I do this bit about how he got it with a contract with the devil and shit.
He signs a contract with the devil to Jonas get a soul. Like, it sucked. Yeah,
it
Jonas
sucked.
Will tell you. I love Jonas.
I like him too, man. He's awesome. I mean, I need some at some point you need the people there to slap you in the face and get with reality.
My buddy Rick Carlton shit on me so bad one night. Because, like, it was an open mic at the Coconuts when it was on Gulf to Bay. Mm-hmm. Back when Larry G had it, and they did the open mic on Thursdays.
Right.
And I just started. I was a couple years, maybe 2 years in. Nah, not even. I was still in my trailer. So, I was about a year in or so, a little less then. And, I had done some good sets at that point. Like, I should have been at least getting, a 50-50 response every time. Mm-hmm. And I went up there, dude, and I just ate a dick. I was a little high. I think I was drinking at the time, so I'd had a couple beers. I was a little buzzed up. There's nobody in the room. Nobody else had really been doing good. So I kind of had the mentality as soon as I I started to hear my name get called, I'm like, man, this is going to fucking suck. I'm going to eat a dick. And it's like I tried to do everything in my power to make sure that I had a shitty set. Like, I just, no energy, no fucking delivery, no fucking,
I mean, it's really hard, dude. It honestly is really hard to make a show when there's nobody to make a show for.
Yeah, but as long as you give me two or three people, I've done it. Like,
I've done it too. I'm not going to, I mean, if you know where the double decker is in Ebor.
Oh, God, that fucking place.
Thanks, Jeff.
I don't think they have it anymore. He had every right, though, because I should have fucking tried harder, and I just wasn't in it. You could see it as soon as I got on stage. And for 45 minutes outside, he just stood right in front of me and just shit all over my set, my comedy, my skills, my fucking everything. Like, he'd start to talk about something else, and it'd be like 2 minutes, and he would somehow steer whatever it was right back to me sucking a dick. And he's so fucking funny. Like, he has been doing it for years, and he's so fucking funny.
Right.
And there's nothing I could
do. So you couldn't help but just listen to every word he was fucking saying.
I just had to sit there and take it, dude. And he was really good friends with my dad. They went way fucking back. So I was like, no, this is a true fucking professional. I just have to sit here and listen to this.
That's one thing, I want to talk about, when I was... The last show that I did in New York was at Broadway Comedy Club. And it was a shit show. Like, I'm starting to really realize, in this industry, there are guys that just talk shit. Being in New York City, you fucking really find that out. Because there are guys that talk shit up, that they don't live up to what they're talking about.
What do you mean? Like, their venues or their abilities or...
Just the fact that they can do what they do. Like, I've done shows for people that will talk a whole lot of, it's going to be a great show, blah, blah, blah. Do I need to bring anybody? I've done bringer shows. Do I need to bring anybody? Nah, man, you don't have to worry about it. If you want to bring a couple of people, so whatever. When I bring two or so, four people, knowing that, I'm okay. There's going to be a full audience. I can perform for my few friends. And then the audience, because you said I'm okay, right? I have nothing to worry about. When I get there, the room's empty, and you're promising me, it's going to be a great show. I'm working for you, and you're not providing me what I need to make a fucking show. But so it's like I've had better fucking shows at open mics here. Where a fucking poet has gone up and said, the sunset is beautiful. Aww. I cried. And then I've gone up and fucking done better because there's just more energy.
Poets are the worst.
They really are, man.
I fucking hate poets so much. I did Cafe Hay. Yeah, that's where they do the music, poetry, comedy.
Yeah.
So you watch Archer?
Yeah, it's like the animation's like comic booky.
Yeah, spy. Yeah, it's so fucking funny. But they got a song because he's into Lana, who's a big, tall, fucking black chick. So he has a song where it goes, "Black ass mama, white ass daddy, mulatto butts, black and white butts," and it's supposed to be like, you know, like a jump around hip hop song beat and shit. And I had my ringtone set to that, and I had it on full volume, and it wasn't even at a fucking table I was at. I was talking to somebody at a different table, and this dude's up there talking about love and fucking emotions and staring in the sea, holding hands. Big ass booty, black and white butts, like just loud as fuck. I had to like run across. JB Ball was there. He starts laughing, recognizes the song, starts singing along with it and shit. Doing like a little fucking dance. Law Smith was dying. I was with like John Jay, Jared, like, I can't remember who else was there, but like all the comedians are all in like this back little alley just dying laughing as I fucking run around them all trying to silence my phone.
As everyone else is probably giving you the fucking death eye. Eternal's dude, probably like so looking pissed. At you like.
They were so pissed.
I love the host there. He's so cool.
Dude, he gets up there. The host gets back up there after the poem and he goes, all right, guys, just as a reminder, please turn your ringers on or turn your phones on vibrate or silent. And like everybody in the fucking back, all the comics just fucking lose it. Like they're all just laughing at me and looking at me. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that's me. My bad.
Did you for once think about the poet, though? Did you think about how he felt?
No, fuck him.
Yeah, fuckers.
See, and I used to write poetry, but if you're
I
going
did
to...
Too. I have a monologue that's like 300 pages.
Oh,
I have just, a fucking...
You,
I have a
wait,
thing
I've seen you done poetry on stage.
I've done poetry jokes.
Yeah,
before.
Like, didn't you do like a 2-minute fucking poetry joke or three? No, no, no.
I did a dick poem joke where I talked about...
You did a... You were the one that did a poem after the fucking Super Bowl where fucking where fucking Pete Carroll tried to do that throw with the Seahawks instead of just running the ball to Marshawn Lynch from, like, the goal line. And you're just like,
that.
I think that was you. You just did a – it was, like, right afterwards. It was at improv, and you were like, yeah, I wrote a poem about the Super Bowl. Here it is. Run the fucking ball! Run – the fucking ball, are you fucking serious? And you just like start screaming. Then you're like, that poem's called Run the Ball.
Dude,
I think
I've
that
done,
was you.
I've done.
It was probably, an angry white guy. I know that.
It probably was, man. And most of, I'm finding most of my comedies, like, I can find it in a rant. So, like, if it's something that I can yell about,
yeah,
I can find perfection in it.
Yeah,
I've done really weird shit at the improv. I've had really awesome sets at the open mic at the improv and had. Sets where I was like, all right, I'm tying this fucking mic cord around my throat and hanging myself right here. And some guy in the crowd's like, don't do it. And I start yelling at him, like, shut up. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. This isn't about you anymore.
Oh, my God, dude. Comedy gets so fucking depressing. I've had good sets there. Most of my good sets have been because of a fucking heckler. And not even like somebody trying to talk shit about the bit. Somebody just trying to have a conversation with me and I have to shut them down. Like I told some dude to fucking, some black dude. He said something stupid about I had a joke and it was something about like, you know, I'm not being a perv. And he's like, I'm not trying to be creepy. And he's like, yeah, you are. And I was like, really? Says the dude chilling with four other dudes. And everybody kind of laughed. I was like, yeah, enjoy your Hennessy and shut the fuck up. And, like, the whole crowd lost it. And he even kind of was like, he raised his glass to me. And he's like, all right, all right. Like, he just kind of went back to the table like, all right, got you. And then, like, my next two jokes were like, meh.
There's hecklers. I've had trouble with hecklers a lot of times, especially at the fucking improv open mic. I remember one time I was I had all my jokes, like, on my phone.
Yeah.
And I didn't have them memorized. So, of course, I was, like, that fucking guy who had to have his phone out on stage when he was doing his jokes. And this guy, this fucking black dude to the right of me with dreads down to his fucking kneecaps, every time I'd go to look at my phone to tell a joke, he'd go, Google another one.
Oh.
Google another one. I'm like, God damn it. Just wait your turn, man.
Yeah. Was he even a comic or was he just roasting
you? He was just a guy heckling.
I've only had one heckler where it turned out really bad for me. Like, usually if it's a dude, I'll fucking smack him up a couple times, and that usually puts an end to it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a chick, I have to try to be, like, hard, fast, and then back way the fuck off. Because, like, if you're too mean to it, especially if she's drunk, mm-hmm. like, you can smack. When I say smack her on, I don't actually mean smack her around. So, fucking everybody calm down, five listeners. But you can kind of, like, you can kind of talk some shit to a drunk female. But at a certain point, especially if she's really drunk, mm-hmm. at a certain point, the whole crowd will just instantly turn on you and be like, you're being so mean to that poor girl. Look at that big, mean comic picking on that poor drunk girl.
I fucking hate out, like, PC.
Well, it's always been like that, though. Like, there's only, I mean, you can be pretty brutal, but there's a certain point where, like, if they're drunk and it's just very obvious that they're not, like, connecting mm-hmm. fucking dots and you just keep hammering her. They're just like, dude, all right, we get it. She's fucking drunk and stupid. Holy fuck, dude. Like, you're just being a bull. Like, there is a certain point.
You're
I understand.
Verbally raping her, man.
Right.
She's had enough.
But so, like, I'll punch him once or twice, like, real quick. And then if she, like, tries to keep going, then after every insult is also a compliment. It's like, oh, my God, just shut the fuck up. You look so nice, though, and I love you. But please, just shut the fuck up. Like, you know, so it's like I try to be mean and nice at the same time. And that usually works. But one time I yelled at this old man. I started talking shit to him. Because I was in a joke, just hit a punchline, and was about to hit a tagline I had for it, but the tagline has just a little pause for it. Mm-hmm. So I said, like, two words, pause, and then before I could hit, like, the rest of the tag, this old man just went, wait! I was like, for fucking what, man? You just killed the end of that joke, and wait! And he yelled wait like three or four times, like really loud. And I was talking shit to him, like about what kind of drugs he was on and like what the fuck's wrong with you, because I couldn't see him. Mm-hmm. It was just some dude from the back of the room yelling. And the crowd laughed the first couple times, and then I hit him a couple more times because he kept yelling, and the whole crowd just fucking turned. I could feel it. I could feel the whole crowd get chilly with me. And I was like, what the fuck's going on? Like, they were with me a second ago, mm-hmm. and it was towards the end of my set anyway. I think I was just hosting. So I call up the fucking feature, and I jump down. And as I come to the back of the room, I look over, and it's a dude who's got to be, like, a buck 10, 110 years old, like, fucking senile, like, with the wisp of hair, like, one side of it's poking straight out.
His
like,
ears are probably filled with hair.
Oh, yeah, like, the one side straight up. He has nothing on top, like, just pure fucking. Looks like he's already dead, just somehow still moving. And I'm like, oh, I just beat up on a senile old man who wasn't even talking to me. He was probably talking to, like, a waitress or his wife that died 10 years ago. Like, oh, I even felt bad, but I was like, no wonder they fucking hate me.
Yeah, it's not as bad as, like, shoving your grandpa on the ground or something.
No, but it's close.
I see these posters on the train all the time of, like, elder abuse. Like,
wait, are you serious?
I swear to fucking God. There's the there call if you've seen or heard of, you know, grandma being abused. There was one who's like, nobody picks me up anymore, answers the phone. I can't even go get my groceries. I'm all alone. It was like, are you writing poetry to me?
Dude. So they got services for you, old man. Leave your grandkids alone. They got shit to do.
What happened to the, like, they have government, like,
fuck old
they
people.
Have jitterbugs and shit. Like,
they have nursing homes.
I'm saying.
Put that ass in a nursing home. Quit trying to be independent, Grandpa. You're 97 and live on the 10th floor. Nobody wants to fucking assist you anymore. That's really mean.
I don't want to live to be 80. Like, anything past maybe, like, 70s, maybe well off, but.
You know what? I honestly didn't think I'd make it this far.
I honestly didn't either.
I don't really care how much farther I make. Like, I don't care. Like, I shouldn't even tell this story on the air. I'll tell the main part of it afterwards. But basically, there's a situation where I could be like, oh, I'm about to go. Like, something horrible is about to happen to me. This could possibly be the end of it. And instead of freaking out and getting all panicked, I just went, you know what, man? It's been kind of a good run. Ain't no fucking, if this is what's going to happen right now, then this is what's going to happen. Just kind of accept it. And just was, like, very, like, zen about the whole thing. And I told other people about it. They're like, dude, that's fucking weird that you just went. I'm like, dude, you know what? Like, I'm not going to, like, if something's going to happen, if it's a situation where it's like, oh, this is it. This is the end. Like, freaking out, screaming, yelling, like.
It doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I'm in a situation where, like, if I'm getting attacked by a bear or.
That's maybe. Just, I think that would be a natural scream, though. Like, that's like your animal instinct trying to fight back. Like,
Yeah, or, all right, like if I was on an airplane, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden the airplane, like the fucking engine just like, or like the tail blew off. So it's like, oh no, we're crashing into the ocean from, you know, however many miles up in the air we are. Like, I'm not going to freak out and scream, be like, oh my God. I'm just going to be like, oh, well, this is it. I guess worst ways could go. I start fucking hitting that oxygen. The bitch next to me is freaking out. Bam, throw an elbow, take her oxygen. Like, I'm getting high as fuck. Real quick, I'll huff the fuck out some oxygen and just be like, yeah. Boom.
I don't know what I'd do in that situation, because I've been on a roller coaster going like straight down, like looking at the ground and being completely quiet before, like, but thinking like, oh, this is pretty fucking crazy, like, just yeah. chill as fuck yeah. though, like looking down, like
like, I mean, I talk shit like that, but in reality, I was on a roller coaster once, because you reminded me, and it was Montu at Busch Gardens. Mm-hmm. We were clicking up, and somebody fucked with their seatbelt, so right as we went to peak, it fucking locked up. So we're all just sitting there, like, pointed, you know, almost straight up. Mm. And while we got to wait for somebody to come and fucking walk all the way and then walk all the way up. And you know they're not hustling. They're
fuck
like,
no.
They're pissed. It's hot. It's Busch Gardens. They're making, like, $8 an hour. They're like, these motherfuckers tell them one goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking click the seatbelt. That's the only fucking thing we tell them. And so, like, we're sitting there. And I was, you know, cracking jokes. I was, like, 19 at the time. I was with some friends, so I'm cracking jokes and shit about, yup, this is how it happens, dog. Any second now we're going to hear that click. We all going to go backwards, crashing in the next car. And, like, some people were kind of laughing. You know, like, I was being really over the top with it and
right,
shit.
Right.
I'm like, maybe we'll just fly away. Maybe we'll go so fast. You know, like, just saying stupid shit. And my friends are cracking up and some other people around me are cracking up. But inside the whole time, I'm just like, oh, my God, I don't want to die. It's going to hurt so bad. Like, I'm just imagining all this fucking pain and agony. Like, I'm going to die a slow, painful, bleed-out death.
But that's what helps you make the joke, though, is because you can see the entire image. It's kind of like Final Destination. Oh,
Jesus Christ. That's like, because I'm an only child.
Right.
So, like, I'm one of the only children that, like, I have an extremely vivid imagination because I was forced to. I was forced to evolve one, like, mm-hmm. so I could entertain myself. I was poor and by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I can really imagine shit. I can imagine that roller coaster snapping, the car flying down, eventually hitting about 45 miles an hour. The next car is coming up behind us. Wham! Fucking bone snapping, chunks of metal flying through my skull, other people's heads explode. Like, I can see it all happening and just being like, this is going to suck. Like, there's nothing, like, that kind of freaks me out. But if it's something that's super sudden, I think then maybe I can just be like, oh, whoa, this is happening. Okay, well, fuck it. Don't have enough time to imagine the worst. Dead. Like,
I bet you struggle with anxiety.
Oh, dude.
Or used to before marijuana.
Oh, my God. That's why I smoke so much weed. I was such a bad alcoholic. That used to help, even when I wasn't drunk. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know how it works for people that can drink responsibly. Like, I have no idea what that's like as
right.
a human being. When I drink, it's the fucking blackout. Like, I'm trying to puke or blackout. Every fucking time. That's not what I'm thinking, but that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's what your body wants.
Right. And so, like, when you drink like that, even on the rare occasions when you're not drunk or you're not, like, extremely hungover, you're still dulled. All your emotions and shit. So, like, it helped with my anxiety and the fact that, like, I was kind of numb to even feeling it.
And then when
I was drinking, of course, the alcohol just fucking, the animal in me was just like, dude, what fucking anxiety party? Like my friends, one of my friends used to call me the shark, because whenever we'd go to a bar, you would just see my head going through the bar to like 5-6 different, because you know how in bars
right,
there's always groups.
You get social.
Yeah. And like the town I lived in Madison, I'd grown up there. I fucking worked in two different restaurants. I knew people from, so like I knew people in every group. So I would just bounce from group to group. Hey, what's going on, man? How you been? How's your day? Oh, I'll talk to you a little bit. Bounce over here. And so it's like, now I don't drink. Now I feel all that shit a lot more. The weed helps me fucking balance it out, though.
The weed makes it like I still have the thought, like crazy fucking thought. Like I'll still be in the spiral thought process,
right.
But the weed will make me okay with it. The weed will make me be like, all right, it's really not that bad. Take a breath.
The weed helps me steer into a different direction. So, like, I'll start to spiral down, you know, say, like, you know, I don't know why I'm continuing to do comedy. I fucking suck. I'm only going to get to this point. And then I'll be like, or, you know what, like, or, like, this will happen. And it just, it helps me get to a better alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I'm, like, dead sober and shit, it really only goes negative.
Right.
But if I have weed, like, it helps me get to another alternative so I can start spiraling off in different directions and start getting positive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, I don't know, this is really fucking weird. So anybody that actually listens to this is going to know a really odd secret about me. Sometimes when I'm going to sleep, because I always go to sleep high.
Right.
That's not the secret.
It's the cure for insomnia.
Like, you know, because, like, you'll lay there and I'll start letting my mind wander and shit. And I find it's really weird. If I'm laying down, like, I always go to sleep on my stomach. Sometimes when my head is turned facing to my right, with my left side down on the pillow, I'll start, like, my imagination will start going and I'll start just spiraling in really negative directions, like, really, really dark, like, shit that I'm not, like, even comfortable repeating sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I flip my head and just literally the only thing I'll do is I'll turn my head looking to my left with my right side down, it's all fucking rainbows and puppies and unicorns and shit. Like, and then if I don't fall asleep right away and I just, you know, through shifting or whatever, end up looking to my right again, and start spiraling negative again. And as soon as I realize I'm getting really dark and twisted up, boom, I look to my left, put my right side down, I'm fucking all sunshine and kittens again. It's fucking weird.
It's almost like you could see two different parts of your brain.
Yeah,
on each side.
It's like when one of them's fucking compressed. It's like literally who's ever on top is going to have the better fucking, like, you know, like, has control. It's so fucking weird. Are you like, does that ever happen to you?
When I go to sleep, I get so high that my eyes get so red to the point where they're so dried out that the only thing I can do is shut them. So I don't really, like, I don't even dream anymore. There's times where,
wow.
So, but I've also done some pretty fucked up things to myself. So, I mean, I'm not unaware of it.
Right.
But, so, like, I'll go to sleep on my back at first.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like meditating. Because if you've ever done, like, meditation, like, I got really into meditation a few years back, taking psychedelic drugs, and you learn how to breathe properly and talk to whoever runs this joint. And
I tried to explain to somebody once about taking mushrooms and going out in the forest and shit.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, because they're like, dude, I'm like, no, you don't understand. You, like, you talk to Mother Nature, and they're like, dude, I don't want to be so fucked up I hear voices. I'm like, no, you don't hear her voice, but she talks to you. They're like, you don't hear the voice, but you have the conversation. And they're like, I don't know if I want to be that fucked up. I'm like, no, but it's good because you hear, like, no, but you don't. It's hard
to
explain.
It's so funny that a lot of people's first initial thought to new experiences are bad because they don't know how they're going to react to it. Like, you'll find it with, like, a lot of drugs, drug users.
Well, dude, it's a pretty valid point. Like, if somebody had first described that to me that way, I might have been hesitant. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever done DMT?
Yes. Oh, fuck yeah.
I have not.
Three times.
I will not ever now.
Do it, man.
No. Because what? This is how it was explained to me. And I have a joke about this, and it's 100% fucking true. My homeboy tells me, and this is a dude I've smoked weed with, I've done shows with. He's really weird, really fucking smart dude. They're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, actually, yeah, fuck it, I'll say his name. Patrick McGinnis. You know who he is. Fucking does improv and shit. I don't know if he's done stand-up in a while. But he's a fucking cool cat, right? Really like him.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about it. And he's just like, yeah, man, it's fucking amazing. Like, you'll see things you ain't never seen before. Fucking it's great. You'll experience things. You'll experience death. I was like, and my whole joke is I'm like, what the fuck kind of selling point is that? Because no.
You started. I mean, he started good. All things are going to be great.
Yeah,
you're going to see,
like,
new all things.
Right,
all right, new shit. All right.
Yeah, it's like 15 minutes long.
Dying.
Yeah. You will experience death. I was like, no. No. No, I won't. I will not experience that.
See, when I got into it, I was at a point mentally where I was like, I think I was a year into comedy or like a few months in. I had just gotten over prostatitis, so at that point, I was, like, on the border of overcoming depression, but, like, conquering, but also, like, getting over a medical illness, too,
right,
at the same time. So I was, like, really
hard. So this
hard.
Was recent.
I mean, it was 3 years ago. Like, that, I mean, getting sick and almost dying was pretty much my reason for doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Because, that's a long story, but, what was I saying?
The first time you did DMT.
Yeah. I was at a point mentally where I was just, like, low on myself, and I just didn't know what I was living for. I didn't have purpose.
Yeah.
So I was, like, I smoked weed, so I knew about consciousness. Like, I knew I wanted something more. I feel like I've always been like that since a kid. But we watched the DMT, the Spirit Molecule. It's a documentary on Netflix. Have you seen it?
No.
Rogan narrates it.
I was gonna. Who does?
Joe Rogan.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
why
does,
not?
I don't know why that surprised me at all. I should know that. I've seen it on. I've seen it, like the advertisement for it, but I haven't actually watched
it. That should have been your selling point. Not this guy going, "You're gonna experience dying today."
Yeah,
I hope you're ready. Strap in.
Like, hey, you want to be dead for 15 minutes? No,
your bed turns into your coffin.
He tried to explain it away too, like the and I know the way if he did. The way he tried to explain it off, if he would have explained it like that initially and then led that to death, then maybe.
Right.
But, like, I can't even really remember what he said because I was so focused on the fact that he said I will experience death. Like, I could not get past that.
But, see, at my, like, my point of view at that point when I was about to do it, I was 21. So, yeah, I just started comedy.
Oh,
and
you're a puppy. Yeah, this was like 3 years ago.
But I didn't know
so.
Why I was doing it, man. I knew I watched Mitch Hedberg, and I knew I watched Joe Rogan. I knew I watched fucking. I grew up watching Jim Carrey and Robin Williams and other. And then doing homework, found out about Richard Pryor and all the other cats
the
that
greats.
Are the great, the gods. They hold the goblet. You know, I just didn't know why I was doing it. Or, like, what I was trying to accomplish. And, you know, I wanted to know why. I watched DMT, started researching it, finding out that it's the chemical produced in your brain when you're born, when you dream, and when you die. That's how it should have been explained to you.
Well, that and he did bring that up, but, again, it was after the fucking fact.
And, but, yeah, I was just like, all right, I'm curious, man. Maybe show me something else. What else is out there? And I did it, and then got this whole awareness of like how my pops wasn't there, and my solution hanging out with all my friends was making everybody laugh. Like, that's what it's what it's about. It's like human interaction. Like, my buddy was describing to me to this like last night. He was talking about human interaction so deeply I couldn't help that we were stoned, but he was just like, life is about human interaction. About it, because if you have great experiences with people, what are they going to think about when you go on? What are they going to think about you? Like, when you die, what's left? Nothing of you except for that memory of an experience somebody had with you. So, like, that's the greatest thing ever. And when you have the power to, like, and the ability to, like, take control with a microphone.
Right.
You know, and take situations that we shouldn't talk about and talk about them and make people laugh about it. Or just even, like, because I don't talk about politics. I try not to. If I do, I poke at it satirically. And
if I do it on stage, I don't talk about it. Like, I don't talk about my politics as much, except for the joke I currently have about Donald Trump being insane and getting shot and not giving him nuclear codes. But that's just more about him being insane, which I'm pretty sure even people that, like, I know really hardcore Republicans that are, that they'll be with Donald Trump.
Mm.
On some of the things he says.
Right.
Because he'll be like, you know, hey, we need to, you know, stop worrying about other countries, start worrying about our own country again. Okay, yeah, you know, I understand that. We need to, you know, pull back some of our military. We need to focus on our schools, on our educations, and quit, you know, worrying about everybody else's, you know, the refugees and shit. I'm like, well, you could have phrased that a little bit differently, but okay. We need to put badges on all Muslims and make them register on a list. Whoa.
I thought Hitler did that with the Jews.
Yeah, like, this seems familiar. Well, not even that. America did it with fucking Japanese. During World War II, there were Japanese internment camps.
Oh, yeah, that's right. California, they were, like, scarce.
A lot of people want to forget that. Like, a lot of people, when you talk about things like that, I mean, the first thing they do is they talk about, like you said, you know, Hitler and Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Nazi Germany, you know, in all fairness, or not Nazi Germany, they're good now. But if you go over to Germany now, they're not sitting there talking about, oh, yeah, dude, we killed a bunch of Jews. Like, you know, they try to erase that just like we did. History is written by the victors.
Mm-hmm.
If Germany would have fucking won the World War, I'm sure it would have been all about how we mistreated the Japanese and about how they rounded up all these criminals.
Of course, yeah. I mean, there'd be a statue of fucking Adolf Hitler in the middle of Times Square or some shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But instead, it's, they committed a horrible genocide, which they did.
Of course.
But instead of us saying that we imprisoned all these people based solely on the fact that they were Japanese, or a lot of cases, Asian. Because they'd be like, oh, where are you? I'm Chinese. Bullshit, let's go.
Well, like, that's the thing. That's what's wrong with America is they'll, like, yeah, we've helped a lot of bad things. We've stopped a lot of bad things from happening, supposedly.
We've also done
a few. But nobody wants to own up to it.
But that's every country, though.
Of course. Thankfully for the internet. I mean, if it weren't for the internet, we wouldn't be able to own up to it. The only thing that won't own up to it is mainstream media.
Man, the internet right now is going fucking crazy with everything that's happening with, like, fucking Hillary Clinton, the Stanford rapist, the fucking affluenza teen, the fucking... Well, he's kind of old news now that he might actually do some jail time. But, like, all these horrendous things come out one right after the other so that we literally... The Stanford rape case should... Not necessarily our conversation because, you know, we're fucking two stoner comics.
Right.
Ranting on a podcast who gives a shit.
Right.
But, like, it should be something that's being discussed in, like, a major news outlet. Like, this dude got off with, like, well, we looked it up earlier, 6 months jail time. I could have swore it was probation. Fuck.
Was it jail time?
It was jail time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I made such a big deal out of Will not fact-checking me. Fucking every goddamn time with that son of a bitch. He'd be like, no, I'm pretty sure this is what happened. Oh, yeah? Google. Man, fuck you, Will. but, yeah, like that's something that's serious to happen. That judge should be fucking, you know, like, that should still be being investigated, dealt with. Or it should be done, and we should have a bunch of answers, this action. But it starts to get drawn out. It starts to get played out. And then the next thing you know, oh, Hillary's not getting indicted for this, so now that'll get – or the Benghazi. And then it'll be about Trump and this 13-year-old, which is already getting passed. Like, I haven't seen an article on that in, like, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was, hey, Trump was is accused of – or it was, like, last week. I saw, like, 1 or 2 days of Trump accused of fucking raping 13-year-old. Haven't seen shit since, really.
See, and that's like...
Because now it's all about how Hillary's not getting indicted for literally violating federal policy, regulation, and law.
Which is, it's just so crazy that these stories pop up so scandalously. Like,
yeah, but that there'll be a new one in a week or two, and we'll forget about this, and another one after that, and another one after that, and it's horrible. It's depressing. It makes me sad in my heart.
That's why I try to laugh at it. You know, I think about... I mean, that's one of the things that I smoke weed and watch it. I'll pay attention. Hyper aware.
I take a look at... Usually it's when I'm at work. Like, and I think that's might be half the reason I'm in such a bad mood when I leave work. is because, like, as I'm doing my actual job, I'll flip to a news site for, like, a minute or so just to kind of break up the monotony.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, oh, okay, back to work. Oh, and then by the time I leave work, I'm like, I need a fucking bowl right fucking now. I can't fucking deal with the human race.
Yeah, I mean, I have to smoke when I go to my job. That's just because I sit there and I know, you know, you can't. I was stoned the other day sitting and thinking, like, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are really running. Are our candidates running? They really are.
It could still, remember, it hasn't been finalized yet.
Right.
They call them the presumptive because there's a legitimate reason that they are presumptive because it's all intents and purposes, they are going to be our candidates. Shit could still change though.
Right.
You know, the Democratic Party could be like, hey, so most of the world seems to hate you because they pretty much just said, oh, no. We found that she did the things that she wasn't supposed to do that she said she didn't do. She did them, and it was reckless and dangerous, but we're just going to let it slide. When, like, they just did the same thing to General Pesteris.
What was that?
I shouldn't talk about this because I didn't research it enough. Oh, God damn it. I think I learned my lesson. I almost did. I caught myself. What it was it was a thing that I saw. It was a couple different, like, things and articles where this general violated the same code. It showed the code, fucking section 7, paragraph 8, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
They both violated. He's, like, exile. He's wanted. And she's running for president. It was, like, this kind of the same thing with Snowden.
It's amazing what money will do to you, right?
Oh, dude.
To be a puppet.
It's just, like, does nobody... Do you guys remember Bill Clinton and Trump and Hillary and Donald's wife hanging out at, like, his birthday party? Like, yeah, he paid him, but they used to hang out. Like, he's endorsed her for president before, said that she should run. Or does anybody remember, like, Hillary's a woman's candidate? She's for women's rights. yet every single woman that's ever accused her husband of rape, Hillary has viciously attacked in the media.
Jesus.
It's whatever. That's why we don't talk about this. Grab something at the top of the
bowl.
See, we were doing so good.
That's why.
Take a. That's hits from the bowler bowl. Hits. Oh, you got your Netflix Pearl, right?
Netflix Pearl.
Your show on Netflix everybody should be watching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
It has to be something that's maybe not well known.
Damn it.
Well, you could kind of do DMT, one.
I mean.
What do we got here? Okay, yeah, let's.
But I just watched something really good that I want to talk about.
All right, well, we'll talk about it, man.
Oh, shit. I got mine.
Oh, shit. What's yours?
Fat and Skinny. I wrote on the paper titled Fat and Skinny People Unite in Heat.
Oh, yeah. That's very similar to Will's.
Is it? Did that happen recently?
No, it was something about. About, like, how do you stop all this sweat and this heat? Dude, we need to leave Florida, bro.
It's intense. Like, the first thing I said to you when I walked up was I checked my phone just now, and the heat index said it feels like 106 degrees.
Yeah, I was walking around earlier. It was at a buck 10. Like, I did a little lap on my job. Like,
yeah, it's just, all you need is just one.
Dude, my shirt was sticking to me. I got to check my deodorant if I'm going to go up to fucking improv tonight. I got to check that. Like,
but this is just one thing I was thinking about. This was one of the first thoughts I had when I stepped foot off of the airplane 2 days ago, I think 3 days ago from New York here. I get off. All I feel is the humidity just slap me in the face like my mom should have. Right? And I think to myself, I used to be a fat kid. So, like, I have the best of both worlds. Like, I have the point of view of what it feels like to be fat. I have the point of view of what it feels like to be skinny. So, luckily, I got skinny later, like they told me I would. But, you know, you don't believe it when you're fat. You're like, I'm always going to be fat forever.
Oh, no, I was fat all throughout high school. And then I hit 18, my last growth spurt. I dropped so much fucking weight. Girls used to just fucking walk up to me and just, hey, would you like to have sex with me? Like, just, I mean, that actually only happened, like, twice. But, like, twice is pretty much, like.
It's the best shit ever, though, right?
Yeah, they were just like, hey, so what are you doing later? Like, me? And I'm like, yeah, now I am. That is my plan now.
Actually, I'm doing myself right now.
Yeah, yeah. So I last longer later. That's grown man shit.
But, no, I was thinking, I felt the heat, and I was just like, I thought to myself, I was like, skinny people and fat people can reconcile their differences in Florida right now, because this heat is just fucking hot for everyone.
Way
everyone.
Too much.
Everyone, doesn't matter if how dark you are, doesn't matter how light you are, it's burning everybody.
Dude, it's fucking
garbage. The
darker
just look crispier.
And I was in fucking Wisconsin last week, so it was fucking chilly.
It was nice, right?
Dude, I was sleeping. I slept in my mom's living room on, like, the fucking, like, lazy boy chair. And all the windows are open. I've got like a fleece throw blanket over me with the ceiling fan on. And I'm like, I'm not chilly, but I'm just like, I'm cool. Like, all this fresh air and shit. Like, at one point at night, I did get the shivers a couple times. Like,
it's so nice when you can sleep with the windows open and, like, have sex and sleep with your clothes off, but with the blanket, and, like, you're not hot.
You get like 3 days of that here. You get like 3 days of sleeping with the windows open.
I'm going to sleep in the nude on the beach one of the days that I'm down here.
You will get arrested for that.
Will you? Damn it. All right.
This couple got arrested on St. Pete Beach for fucking.
I remember hearing about that. That was like a couple of years ago, right?
Holy fuck. I was going to say no, but yeah, I think it was like at least a year. I think it was a year ago. It might have been two.
See, but you know what's crazy is, like, the guy who shot them fucking didn't get in trouble. Like, where the fuck is that guy who has those images?
Dude,
fucking perv.
Have you seen Jim Jeffries' Free Dumb?
Yes. Dude. Fucking best special ever.
Dude,
not ever, but it was really fucking good. Dude, I watched it at the airport.
Jim Jeffries does this fuck, like, just his wording, the way that he words things.
He's so honest. He's so honest about it.
And the choosing, I love the fucking way he, because that's one of my big things is, like, when you have an option of, like, five words to use somewhere, it's like, which ones do you use? What order do you put them in? Like, I like that. And Jim Jeffries is so fucking good at it. But the joke he does where he's like, prostitution is legal here. That is fucking stupid. How? He's like, I can't pay her $20 to suck my I mean, and this is a horrible paraphrasing, but he's like, you know, I can't pay a girl $20 to suck my dick. But if Dave is over in the corner filming it, then it's fine. Like, oh, God damn it, he's so fucking good.
It's so good. And, like, I remember slightly last night because I celebration with friends, happy to see me. We get stoned. This dude rolled 2 grams of like this Cali weed and then like a gram of wax in like one joint. And I was like, why? Why? Oh, we missed you, bro. We missed you.
Yeah, but
like,
the wax is just a waste, though, man.
Oh, no, it was worth it. It was so worth it. But that topic just came up, like, out of nowhere. And I was like, what? I just watched that special, and he was joking about it. And, like, this is something that we're talking about. Yeah. Like, that just came up naturally.
Dude, it's so fucking weird about the U.S., man.
Because you can literally fuck a drunk bitch, and she wouldn't know, and it could be rape. But if you film it...
Like, well, no, it's still rape.
Right.
If she doesn't know,
of course.
But if you film it, it's art film.
That's why you sign her consent first.
Yeah. No, that's your scribble right there, Drunky McGee. So what's your Netflix Pearl then?
My Netflix Pearl.
We gotta wrap this one up a little bit early.
How much time do we have?
I don't know. Enough.
You said it can't be something well known because
we got like 15 minutes. Yeah, that's usually about how long the fucking sign off takes.
I was watching. It's only got 2 seasons. I don't give a fuck what you said. I'm gonna talk about it. It's only got 2 seasons, and it's called Bloodline. Have you watched it?
No, No. I watched the first episode. And I was like, oh, this is pretty good, and I don't know why I stopped watching. But I did watch the first episode. And I wasn't upset, and I don't know why I never watched anymore.
It's fucking good. It takes place in Key West, so it's like it's close to home. So, of course, I'm going to be interested in the scenery. And it's shot really well. The cameras they use, the images are really good.
That's why I watched Making a Murderer. Wisco.
I mean, I watched the first 48.
Yeah.
But this, last year, the first season came out. I was in L.A., and they were advertising the first season on Netflix everywhere. And I was just like, God damn it. I'm high. I'm like, we're here. I see this shit everywhere. Maybe I should check it out. So one night when we're back in the hotel room or whatever, actually it was an Airbnb, which came with an Xbox, which had Netflix.
Shit.
So we were able to get on the Netflix. Let me not lie to the folk. It was luxurious. And we were able to get on Netflix, and this was on there. And we were like, oh, that's that shit we saw advertised, and let's watch it. And it's fucking crazy. It's about, like, drug dealing, this family. They're supposed to be picture perfect, but they're fucking not. And it's completely Florida. It's totally Florida.
Like, I remember the first episode, like, the one brother's, like, lost his shit and is trying to get his shit back together, but the other brothers are busting his balls, and, like, the sister's fucking hot, but, like adult hot. Like,
oh, yeah, that's the chick who plays, what's her face? She plays Velma in Scooby-Doo, and yes. She was in Grandma's Boy.
She's in Grandma's Boy. She was in... Age of Ultron.
Can't think of her name. Something.
Oh, God damn it.
I think it's like an LC or her initials.
Yeah, she's
Lauren
so fucking,
something.
Lauren Conrad?
Is it Lauren?
Nah, it can't be.
Lauren I don't know.
Conrad. I don't know, but yeah, she's fucking hot. But she, like I said, she's like adult hot. She's not like, I mean, she's been hot in every movie, but like in Bloodlines, I just remember like, no, like she looks like a very fucking like, no, this bitch is how she handles her business.
Like her in the first season, I'm not going to give out spoilers, but she's just, she's got a husband and has another. So you know she's doing something dirty, and it's like, she does a really fucking good job too. Like there are some scenes that are so dramatic, and you're like, oh shit, I would never watch anything like this, but I'm stoned, and she cries good, I guess.
You know who else loves that show that I've been hearing about it from?
Who's that?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I mean,
and I don't want to say I've been hearing about it from him. Like he calls me, he's like, Jay, James. I can't do a good Stone Cold Steve Austin, but no, I listen to his podcast.
It's a podcast?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Dude,
I didn't
it's
know
good
that.
As shit,
now
yeah.
I'm going to listen to Steve Austin's voice before I go to bed every
Stone
night.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, Unleashed. He does like, that's the one where it's just him and like he cusses and shit. Like he's one where he's talking with Bill Goldberg and they're drinking beers. And there's one where he's like, dude, I love it when he cusses. Because it's Stone Cold, so, you know, you're so used to him being, like, the Texas Rattlesnake, but the worst he could ever say was, hell yeah, or I'm going to whoop somebody's ass.
You're saying, fuck you
and
fuck. And
he's like, I can't stand when a motherfucker, like, in his Texas fucking accent, like, he's actually pretty fucking liberal for being a fucking good old boy from Texas.
That makes sense. I mean, he's been in, around media, so.
Yeah, he's been, you know, wrestling for years and shit. He's always been around a different group of people, like, but yeah, he's cool as shit, dude. He's funnier than fuck. Him and Bill Goldberg was a really good one. Like, yeah, it's completely unfiltered, uncut. Like, he's so raw.
I definitely have to listen to it. Thanks, Steve.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Dude, I fucking love it so much. Yeah,
Bloodline's good. You know who else likes it? Tom Segura and Christina Pazitsky. I hear them talk about
it. I need to
it.
Listen to their podcast.
It's fucking funny.
Every
it's
time I do, funny. I laugh. It's just, I did, there's so many. Like, I mainly listen to Rogan's. Yeah. And then Nerdist. Sometimes I listen to Owen Benjamin. Sometimes I listen to Kreischer. I usually listen to Fitzsimmons. I just fucking resubscribed to Mark Maron's because I forgot to and didn't even realize it. Oh, somebody else today told me about Kevin Smith. And
oh, yeah, he's got, like, his comic book.
Fat Man Talks the Batman, or Fat Man on the Batman, something like that.
He's got a few different podcasts he does.
Well, that's the one that I know about. Or that's the one that I found out about today.
There's
where it's
so many, dude.
He just talks about Batman with different people that are involved with it. Like, he had two with Mark Hamill.
That's so awesome.
And I was like, what the fuck?
I had a neighbor who, when I was living here in Tampa, my neighbor is an artist, and he can, like, he's so good. He can literally, like, look at two different images and, like, combine them just by looking at them in his own, like, way. But he's done work, his own, like, work, Batman covers. Like, he'll order these covers and then do, like, his own thing on the blank, the comic book. And he's gotten, like, some artist who is, fuck, I hate to even call myself a Batman fan, did not even know the artist's name.
Oh, dude, I don't know. I'm a huge X-Men fan. I don't know any of those fuckers' names. I have three Batman
shirts. It's something
shirts
recent, like, but he's got, like, all these dudes' signatures and shit.
Nice.
Crazy.
All right, so back to fucking Bloodline.
Well, yeah, it's a good show.
All right, yeah, like I said.
I think it touched, I don't mean to cut you off, but like, it touched my heart watching it because I know my family was so fucked up. So it was like, I'm watching this, and I'm like, they're worse than me.
Yay.
Like, even though it's fictional, but God damn it, it's making me
feel
good.
I had to go to TV to find somebody worse, but whatevs.
And then there's like, I don't know if you get so, like, sometimes when you're watching shit, you get so, like, into it to where you don't even think you're here. You're with the show, you're with the plot, you're with the setting, you're with everything going on. So, like, it's like certain scenes will make your heart like start beating and shit rapidly, and it's like, oh shit.
You start to really empathize if the acting's good and if you're on a lot of drugs.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is
you feel it.
Oh, dude, that's like, I get scared watching movies. I get fucking excited. I get like, oh, dude, remember the Titans? Oh, the fucking tearjerker. Denzel. Who the fuck played the other coach? Not Ed Harris, not Duvall.
I don't know if I saw that.
Donald Faison's in it. Fucking Ryan Hurst, Opie from Sons of Anarchy. There's a bunch of people in it, dude. It's a really good movie. It's about an old town. God damn it! Now I can't remember if it's Virginia or South Carolina. It's about an old town. I want to say it's Virginia, but it's like a high school football team. This is like back in like around segregation time. Mm-hmm. And there's an all-white high school. It's like a fucking championship high school. Like, the head coach is going to be, you know, inducting the High School Hall of Fame. And it's one of those small towns. It's like, no, high school football matters. Like, everybody knows who the coach is. They all, you know,
it must have been a small town.
Yeah. Back in, like, yeah, it's like the 50s or 60s or some shit back then.
It was only those small towns that did really, like,
no, it's
fucking city gatherings and shit.
Oh, yeah, like, small towns are, even when I was in the 80s and 90s, small towns were all about their high school football.
Come on, Jim, we're going to the country fair.
my small town in Wisconsin still does its the Cottage Grove Firemen's Festival, and my mom lives park adjacent, so people always get fucked about my mom's house and then walk over, get even more fucked up in the beer tent.
Nice. Best tent.
But yeah, so Denzel Washington is obviously a black football coach coming from an all-black school. Mm-hmm. He's being hired at the school and given the head football coaching position. So, and then they took the head coach that was white, and, you know, he asked him to be his assistant, stick around. So now it's like, black offensive and head coach, and then white defensive and assistant coach. So it's like, and there's constantly friction, and like, they're learning to get along with each other. They both really care about the kids and football, and you see like Denzel's coming down really hard on the white kids and not letting them get away with disrespect, and then like, the white coach is being really soft on the black kids because he doesn't want to come across as racist because he really could care less. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. He cares about the game, not the color.
But it's like a true story, and it's about how this high school team, even though like at one point they had tried to fix a game to get into the playoffs, like the referees and shit were calling a bunch of, like, and they fought back from like a deficit at halftime. Like, all this shit. Really heartwarming movie. Like, the sounds whole like town goes from being racist to the whole entire town just coming together to be like, you know what? We're winning championships as a football. Like, maybe we need to, like, reevaluate and learn from these high school kids that are getting along. And So it's a really heartwarming story, really touching. Gets me choked up a little bit every time. And it's because I'm empathetic and because I played sports and because, like, when I see fucking, like, that, like, emotional, I'm just like, oh, yeah, if I was fucking there, I'd be crying right now just like these dudes. Oh!
I don't want to be stereotypically racist, but...
You piece of shit. But you're going to power through it anyway.
But when I was in high school, I was pretty athletic and kind of a jock. I was on the wrestling team, so I knew football players. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the white ones were faster than the black ones. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're all humans. There were different ones, and the black dude, my black friends were faster than definitely me.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's and I actually looked this up the other day because somebody didn't believe me. Black people have an extra muscle in the back of their calf,
really?
Up towards the top of their calf. Yeah, because I was looking up to see if this to see if Asian women had an extra muscle in their vagina, and it said that they did have one in there.
Of course they do.
And then it said because I showed it to my I gave my phone to my friend because they're like, no, they don't, and they're like, oh, and it says that black women have an extra muscle in the back of their calf, and I was like, yeah, I saw some documentary or something like fucking years ago. When I was like a little kid, and it just stuck with me because I remember watching it, and it talked about like it was something about evolution, and like because humans, when they hunt, they don't hunt like they would like throw spears at like a giant giraffe or like a, and they wouldn't be able to kill it like just by hitting with the spears, but they would fuck it up. Mm-hmm. And the giraffe or you know any animal can run really high speed, but not for a great distance. Mm-hmm. So you know back in the day when people were hunting in Africa. They would fucking chuck, like, say, like, 20 spears at a fucking giraffe, hit it, like, 6 times. Giraffe would take off at full speed. And then for the hunters, it was just a marathon. It wasn't about speed.
The blood.
Yeah, they would just jog and follow the, and try to get to it because it would start to slow down as it died. So then they'd try to catch up to it. And then as soon as it goes down, you got to be on top of it. So hyenas and, you know, at that point, buzzards are might be following and shit. But it was, like, it was a marathon. Like, you ran, you kept up with it. And once you started to go down, then you stepped it up. So, like, that long-distance constant running may have evolved another muscle back there. Evolution. Wow. I've heard people tell me I'm full of shit, but I was like, it was my aunt, actually. My aunt had the phone, and she goes, oh, it says here they have an extra muscle back then. I was like, yeah, fucking knew it.
I don't know, man.
I thought maybe it was just racist, though, like white people trying to explain it off. Like, no, so the reason that that black bastard's faster than me, I'm not slow. Everybody knows monkeys got extra muscles in their legs from climbing trees and shit, from running after giraffes back in the fucking rainforest.
My best friend, is probably one of the blackest dudes ever. Like there's a picture of Michael Jordan right there. He looks like that. Like he's that skin tone. Like when he smiles, all you see is teeth when he smiles. He's that dark,
like African dark, yeah, like Nairobi dark.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, he's one of my best friends. I've known him for a long time, and we rap together.
Yeah,
because I don't know if you've ever heard my music. I posted it on my social
media. I think I've heard it once or twice.
But I rap with him, and he used to play basketball in high school. We're almost like I think he's got an inch over me, but we're almost the same height. And he jumps. He like leaps in the air and can like hang on and like do like one arm push-ups on the fucking rim of the basketball court. Like, I'm the same height as you, dude. How are you doing that?
Well, like I knew a dude.
You gotta have an extra muscle in your calf.
I knew a dude in high school, Joe Starkweather, and he was a white guy, and he was short, like 5'8", 5'9", and he would like walk in the gym with his backpack on and his fucking headphones on, and he's kind of like, you know, short little white dude that like. He had grown up in rough neighborhoods. Like, when we ended up going to high school together, we were in a kind of fucking really super white school. Mm-hmm. But I had known him from, like, another school we had went to that was kind of, like, a rougher neighborhood and shit. So, like, he grew up in, like, he was, like, a little black white dude. He just didn't talk. He wasn't very fucking vocal.
Right.
He would walk into the fucking gymnasium, fucking big, huge, you know, Janko jean shorts on, like, big fucking, like, Dallas Mavericks Jason Kidd fucking basketball jersey on with, like, his backpack and shit and his headphones on and walking head all down, walk up underneath, and like we're warming up to play basketball, look up at the rim, 5'9", 5'10", squat down a little bit, jump straight up, touch the top of the fucking rim, drop down, go in, change, and then be like, all right, let's play. And just super quiet, and everybody be like, fuck, man, dudes, you're like 3 inches shorter than everybody here and can dunk. What
you would do
the
that
fuck?
Every day? Like,
Yeah, that's just how we would walk into gym class when we were playing basketball. That's just...
That's like an intense walk-in.
Yeah, like, I played basketball with him, like, in the streets and shit, like, you know, after school. And, like, dude, he was fucking insane. He was, like... I wouldn't say he had as good... You remember, you know the professor from the N1 tapes, the little white dude with the fucking insane handles? Yeah. I'm not going to say he had handles like that. But he had fucking really dope handles, except he could fucking jump. Like, he would fucking handle down, have a sick pass, get it back, and then just go straight up. And nobody would be expecting him. Because, like I said, he's 5'9", 5'10".
Did you ever look at his calves?
No, I did not. Because I was just... They were so small. His whole body was small.
I wonder if he developed that extra muscle.
The only thing that's... Oh, dude, what sucks is the last time I saw him, he had gained a bunch of weight. It was, like, after high school. Because he had attitude problem. Like, I have a lot of friends that are really good athletes. Mm-hmm. And, like, were recruited by colleges when they were, like, freshmen in high school for, like, basketball and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I have a couple different friends. And what fucked it up was they couldn't get out of their own way. Partying,
a lot of it, man.
Disrespectful.
Yeah. A lot of it is like battling with yourself. It's like, what choices are you gonna make? Are you gonna give in to peer pressure? A lot of it's peer pressure. Like, you don't know who to follow. You don't know what you're actually doing. So, but he seems to be going somewhere to do something. Maybe I should go too.
It was weird, dude. My buddy Wes was the same way, and I love Wes to death. He's completely changed his life from now. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Joe. I haven't seen him in fucking probably 15 years or so.
Shit.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since I was like 21, 22. But fucking Wes, you know, has turned his life around. He's a member of his church, fucking married, got a couple kids. Like, he's doing good. But like, Wes was the same way. Wes, as a sophomore in high school, was like 6'2, 6'3, could dunk. When we were living together at one point in our like early 20s, like 22, 24, and we'd play basketball, and he would go up to dunk, and you would just hear like, it'd be like clapping, people smacking in his arms, and he would go up through like four people's arms, dunk it, land, and then like wouldn't even call a foul, just jogging back, like could jump up, touch the top of the backboard.
That's huge.
Yeah, and like he's 6'3". Like his leaping ability, his fucking power, and he wasn't like a huge guy. He was just incredibly muscular. He had always worked out. He had always fucking ran.
Just a natural athlete.
Yeah, just naturally fucking pure fucking muscle.
See, I was never that guy.
Oh, dude.
Just
like
short and round.
Yeah, I
tried to ride a skateboard.
I had really good feet and hands for a defensive lineman. Like, I was a lot quicker than I should have been, mm-hmm. But I still wasn't fast. And then when I lost weight, I was already out of high school, and then I was fast. Like, I played football and basketball, and I was quick as shit. Now I just don't have the energy.
I like how our topics, like, slowly became us getting to know each other more.
Yeah, that's generally what happens, and it always happens around the fucking hour mark. But like I said, we got to cut out early. We'll... needs a fucking setup for his next podcast. So this will be out next week. Will you be back in New York by then?
No, I'm actually going to be here for a little bit. It's going to take so long to tell. I don't know where I'll ever tell it to, but
we'll have you back on.
Yeah. I'm here for a little while because of my living situation.
Gotcha. We'll talk about that later. We'll plug your social media.
You can find me. I'm on Facebook, Devin Alexander. I think you could search up. You'll find me Twitter at Devin, DEVINA, Pickett, PICKETT. So
double
smooth.
Instagram?
Instagram, I don't know. You'll find it, I guess, if you follow those two.
It'll eventually get there. do you have any? Have you booked anything yet? Or
I haven't. No, nothing down here.
But if they follow your social media, they'll see it.
They'll see it. I'll be around Tampa, so you'll see me.
All right. My social media: Instagram, Facebook, the Tweet Machine, James Bailey. Ha ha. JamesBailey. HA James Bailey. Ha ha. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My mom's favorite podcast on Facebook. Like the page, please. Quit making me fucking beg you, people.
I love your mama.
Listen, laugh, share, and don't forget, call your mama. She cares. She worries.